Here's why I'm here. I'm wanting to speak to those that are either in Christian leadership, or maybe you're a pastor, or maybe your pastor sent you here to find out what craziness was going on here today. And first of all, it's this. You and I believe that God is sovereign. And that God is sovereign. He is the God of the Word. And from Genesis to Revelation, listen, the Bible does not contain the Word of God. It doesn't contain the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. And we don't pick and choose as to what is applicable to us or not. There are those things where it is specific, example, where God has got an eternal plan for the nation of Israel. And I think that's why, I'm not going to get off on another trail today, but I think that's why Israel's in the news today the way that it is. God's got a plan for Israel, and he's made that very clear. The covenants that he's made with Abraham, he's going to keep those. If you like it or not, God's going to keep those covenants that he's made. But then there's this oddball thing where you could argue, I know some people have different views, you could argue that there's no reference for the United States of America in the Bible. I personally do not believe that America is written in the Bible. Someone's going to say, yeah, but what about the young eagles, the Tarshish connection between Europe? Maybe, maybe not. Here, my point is this. It's that there's no nation on the face of the earth that has experienced in such short order of time. Let's push it. I was going to say 250 years, but we got to push it out. We've got to push it out to close to 400 years to where God started to do a work in America, in what would be America, that is unparalleled apart from Israel. But what God did in short order with the United States of America and that what would become the United States of America was God's word being fulfilled in the hearts and the lives of people that was unseen before previously. The history of the Old and New Testament is Israel pretty much living in rebellion against God's promises and God's commands. And then all of a sudden, this Puritan movement that really started with Reverend Hunt, most of us don't even know who the guy is, in 1605, Reverend Hunt was the first guy to preach a sermon on the East Coast under the broken sail of the ship. He pitched a canopy and preached the gospel. And this is obviously before the pilgrims showed up. But if you look up in American history, the early roots and the founding of American history, have you ever heard of a guy by the name of Leif Erikson, the Viking? Have you read about his life when he came? And he's known to be the first one to bring forth the gospel on this continent, on the East Coast, and most of us don't even know these things. When you look at the pilgrims on the Mayflower, what did they say? Remember, if you know a little bit of your history, there was 102 people on board, and just about 51 of them were believers. The rest were known as strangers. That's what the pilgrims called the others. Those were the non-believers. But before they got off the Mayflower Compact, it was our founding Puritan fathers that said, wait a minute, nobody gets off this boat. We're way out of bounds. The storm blew us off course. We're not even near Virginia. So our treaty with this contract that we have has blown us into the area of what you know as Massachusetts. We're in no man's land. We have no governing document. Listen, God is so good. God just blew that ship, the little ship, Mayflower. He blew them off course with these storms. They land in Plymouth, but before they get off the boat, they said, the believers said, we need to have a form of government. If we get on this soil, we're all going to go crazy because we don't do well on our own. And friends, listen, when was the last time you read the Mayflower Compact? You ought to read it. It's only two paragraphs. Look, if I was the dictator of education in America, you can't graduate without being able to recite from memory the Mayflower Compact. You want to know why? Because they said before they stepped onto this soil, they said that we have come here to propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ to this continent. It says it right there. And it's that foundation where our founding fathers that we most often refer to said, it's all about God. Even the gathering of those 56 signers, all of them, they had various connections to their denominations, but all of them came to this agreement that we're going to consult God. John Adams said that any nation that picks up the word of God and applies it to their governance will become a great nation. It's the secret sauce, so to speak. The word of God. Our founding fathers knew that. They weren't ashamed of it. They didn't apologize. They didn't all get along. Listen, they were so committed. This might upset some of you. I hope not. But it's a historical fact. They said one of the guys had been flirting with Catholicism. And they said, you can't be a signer. You say, oh my gosh, really? How rude is that? You know what they said? They said, if you continue on and you come to signing this document, you're gonna be threatened with the Constitution and what it says versus what the Pope says. And we can't have that. We cannot have any. We left Europe to not have a state church. And we're not going to have a state church. That's why it's so ridiculous. You know, I'm called people. I get labeled all the time. All the time I'm called a Christian nationalist. By people who've never interviewed me. They've never asked me. I don't even quite sure know what that means. But if you think that I as a Christian want America to be a Christian nation, I do not. I believe in the founding of this government, of this nation, that it is, listen, I'm building up to this moment. They were a bunch of believers who drew up a form of government based on scripture, even the three branches of our government out of the book of Leviticus. And they said, this is the way it's going to be, that even the most devout believer to the most hardened atheist will have all the same rights in this country. That's never happened before in the history of man. And do you know what it's called? I'm wondering. I might trick you. Do you know what it's called? I'll tell you what it's not called, and yet it's everything you hear right now. It's not a democracy. Did you know that? Everything you're hearing right now from 1.5 of the political parties. One party is all about it, and half of the party is all about it. I'm not a big fan of either party. Sorry to be a party pooper, but I'm not big on either party. One party's nuts, half the party of the other's nuts. But they constantly say, democracy, democracy. We need to advance the democracy, or this, or he, or she. They're a danger to the democracy. You should read our founding fathers when they talked about a democracy. They said, we will ensure that we will never be a democracy. And so, by God's grace, we are going to create a constitutional republic, which is the first time in world history where the people have a say about who governs them. And that was a gift from God. If you look and read our founding fathers, look, I read my Bible, I read commentaries, and I read our founding fathers. They're so much fun to read. They're amazing. You ought to read about Sam Adams. You love Sam Adams. Sam, you know how you love Peter? Don't you love Peter in the Bible? Peter's just the best because he always says the wrong thing, wrong time. Peter, you know, he gets all emotional about it and cuts off some guy's ear. We just love Peter. The Bible says on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Moses and Elijah appeared to Jesus and spoke about his upcoming glorification and his death, Peter says, it says in the Bible, Peter, not knowing what to say, said, let us build three tabernacles, three tents. I love that guy. Samuel Adams is just like Peter. He was big. He was bold. He loved the word of God. Thomas Jefferson turned to Sam Adams and said, where did you get this understanding of freedom and liberty? You are the spirit of the revolution, he said. And Sam Adams said, I got it from my pastor. The pastor. Have you ever heard of the Black Robe Regiment? Sam Adams' pastor was part of the Black Robe Regiment. Here's the funny thing. None of the colonial pastors called themselves the Black Robe Regiment. You know who called them the Black Robe Regiment? King George III in England. He said, you know what? There's seven people that I, by the decree of the king, will override the British Constitution. And here it is. There's seven people in the colonies that if you find them, if any one of our representatives find them, kill them by hanging or by shooting the very day. Listen to this. The last two guys on the list was Sam Adams and John Hancock. You know who the first five guys were? The Black Robe Regiment pastors. King George said, those pastors, there's the blue coats, there's Washington, there's Knox, there's Green, there's all those guys, generals and brigadiers, they're warriors. They're wearing blue. But there's a Black Robe Regiment, a Black Robe Army we got to shut down. And out of that hit list of seven, the first five were pastors. Why? Because we believed that God had given us a government where it is we the people. Now, you might say this is a political speech right now. It is not. It is a stewardship speech right now. Stewardship. You and I do not live in South or North Korea. You and I do not live in Russia. You and I have such great freedoms that, let's be honest, they've lulled us to sleep. Those beautiful blessings have caused us to be so comfortable that we've just kind of fallen asleep. You can do anything you want because there are soldiers and sailors and there's airmen. They're out there in the world protecting you and I to be able to gather here today. And we've got legislation in place and we've got a constitution that is absolutely stunning. I don't know if you know this or not, but I got in so much trouble. I should have brought it. You could read it online if they haven't twisted it. I was asked by Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, if I would open up the new year for Congress and pray in Washington, D.C. for the Congress. And I prayed and I had congressmen and women coming up. They gave me a hug. They were telling me, we've not heard a biblical prayer like that in years. And I thought, how sad is that? Got on the airplane, flew back home. By the time I landed, it was in the news. 26 members of Congress, for the first time in American history, condemned my prayer. Official documentation signed by 26 different congressional members, condemnation of the prayer that was offered. You can read it online. Here's what they didn't know, because listen, I may be ugly, I'm not stupid. That's a pretty scary place to go to. It's pretty intimidating. The U.S. Capitol's awesome. So I'm thinking, you know what? Lord, what do I do? And so what I did was, is I lifted from ancient prayers offered up in that chamber, and threw a little bit of President Garfield. He had an amazing sentence that I used. You guys, I fabricated a prayer from previous prayers that had been offered up in that building. And I got in trouble. I got in trouble. I was called a bigot. I was called all these things. I was called all these words. They did not even know that what I was quoting was American history. And yet they're calling the shots and they're the leaders of our nation, but they couldn't even recognize American history when I quoted it to them. I'm not blaming them. I'm blaming the fact that we've gotten away from a stewardship of the greatest document apart from Scripture. That God, in fact, I have a wonderful friend. He's a genius, amazing man, a congressman from Ohio, Bob McEwen. He's retired. Bob McEwen, in his study, in his research, we were at the Reagan Library when he told us this. He said, I, in my study of world history, cannot find any other gathering of people in one room focused on one project that had such levels of genius, little genius, and skill than the 56 signers that brought about our government. Most of them, not all, were wealthy. And when Congress couldn't supply arms, John Hancock and George Washington did. Think of that. They were in it, all in it. Sam Adams didn't have any money. And John Adams said, don't worry. he was born a rebel, he'll say something. And Sam Adams inspired, you should read the book, please write this down. You should read the book, Sam Adams, A Life by Ira Stoll. It's the greatest book written, and here's what's great about it. Ira Stoll just simply arranged conversations that Sam Adams had written down among Washington and John Adams and John Hancock. You gotta read it. Don't be intimidated, but it's about this thick. And you're reading his mail. Wouldn't you like to read mail? Don't you like to read stuff like the... Yeah, you know, does the neighbor's letter ever get in your mailbox and you wonder, well, I wonder what's in there? We're so curious. Read his mail. You're going to find out his grip on Scripture. He stood up and he said, why are we disparaged of our souls? Why are we overwhelmed with the show of force from the crown of England? Have we not acted worthy of heaven? And if we've acted worthy of heaven, should we not look upon our great provider to bring us strong deliverance in our time of need? As long as we act worthy of heaven, we can be rest assured of its aid and of its supply. Samuel Adams. And he aroused Congress and they took this stewardship. And friends, listen, I'm a pre-tribulational, pre-millennial, futurist, literalist. What am I missing, Justin? I believe Jesus Christ. I'm surprised I got here today. I thought the rapture would happen. I am ready to meet Jesus. I hope he comes today. Please, Lord, come before the election. I am so ready to meet Jesus. In the meantime, there's something I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to be a steward over the things of righteousness. Guess what? I'm not the only one. Every single believer is to conduct themselves in a way that we do righteousness. Did you know that? Oh, wait a minute. That's what we pay Pastor John to do. Oh, no, no, no. Pastor John is to instruct you on how to do righteousness. And we have a republic that God gave us. We are not North Korea. We have a republic where we the people. Notice, very few politicians want you to remember that. You heard a lot about school boards today. We saw what was going on many years ago. We changed our school board. How'd we do that? I just spoke to the congregation. I said, some of you people who know your Bible, you ought to pray about running for school board. And that's what they did. But listen, what about you? Do you work at Raytheon or do you work at Amazon or do you work at Ding Dong or whatever it is? I don't know. Wherever you work, whatever you do, are you a school teacher? Are you an engineer? Are you a gardener? Whatever you do, are you not commanded in Scripture to do it to the glory of God? Then all of us as brothers and sisters, we are not talking about having a Christian nation. We're talking about, because our citizenship's in heaven, mind you. We're strangers and pilgrims passing through. And so, this is what we're asking of you. And so whoever wants to take Matthew chapter 5, did anybody grab that one? Matthew 5, can you stand up real loud and read it? Did somebody? Okay, nice and loud. Okay, isn't that awesome? By the way, it makes me want to cry because John Winthrop, he's one of our pilgrim fathers who read that regarding this continent. And Ronald Reagan read a lot of John Winthrop. Remember Reagan said, the shining city on the hill? Did you know that he was quoting John Winthrop? You know who John Winthrop was quoting? Jesus. So can I ask you this question before I call upon the next verse? Tell me where we are not supposed to shine our light. Hey, I know for a fact that Gavin Newsom is completely fine with me sharing the gospel within the four walls of our church. That's right. His problem is we take it outside. We're obeying Jesus. So here, listen, all of you, I see some young people up here. This is awesome that you guys are here. It's incredible. I see some more of us who are wise. I am open to hear you suggest to me that there's this place or that place where we are not to shine the light. Okay? Okay, the next one is Proverbs 29, verse 2, really loud. Proverbs 29, 2. When the righteous are in power, the people rejoice, but when the wicked rule, the people groan. Excuse me, wait a minute. Is that a what book was that? Proverbs 29, verse 2? That sounds like a political statement. It's not at all. It's we the people. Watch. When the righteous are in power, we get intimidated by that first opening part of the verse because none of us feel righteous. Guess what? You're never going to feel righteous. In fact, can I tell you this? Most of us are going to feel pretty rotten about how each day ends in our lives. Because if we did anything short of walking on water, we failed. Guess what? That's what God's grace is for. We get up in the morning before my feet, like your feet, hit the ground. Lord God, fill me with your spirit. Come upon me, and Lord, may I live for your glory today. But because I'm mere human, at the end of the day, there's things that I either did not do that I should have done, or there's things I did that I should not have. Are you with me? To do righteousness is to do the right thing. Voting is to do the right thing. You can't sit out voting. It's impossible. You say, how dare you say that? I'll say it again. You cannot sit it out. It's impossible for this reason. It's your stewardship to shine your light in the voting box to do righteousness. It's so simple. It's not political. It's stewardship. How about Proverbs 31, verse 8? You might be surprised. Proverbs 31, 8. Who's got that one? Speak up for those who have no voice. Another version says it. One of the versions even says, speak up for those who have no voice, those who are destined to be put to death. We know that that's a pro-life verse. It's one of the most popular pro-life verses. Can I put a little twist to it? Let's not limit it to the pro-life argument. You heard today as to why, by the way, I have to admit, our team was very... They were very guarded today. I don't know if they've not had enough coffee or they didn't pray long enough. But they could have shared with you what your kids are actually reading. I don't know why they didn't. About how to do this to a girl or how to do this to a boy. Why didn't they tell you this? It's your kids are reading this. See, Jack, what's your point to the verse? My point to the verse is, if we don't speak up, then our little ones in school are being destroyed because we refuse to speak up. I know I feel, look, I know this makes us all feel uncomfortable, but when Ben Franklin stepped out of Carpenter's Hall, Independence Hall, Mrs. Baker said to Mr. Franklin, what form of government have you given us, sir? And what did he say? Thank you, good. A republic, if you can keep it. How did we get here? We didn't keep it. You know why? To keep a beautiful country like this going, it takes civic involvement. That's why for decades, you and I have watched civics drift off the page of education. If you've ever read Rules for Radicals, quote, Barack Obama's favorite book, close quote, that Saul Alinsky wrote, it's really a condensed version of Karl Marx. Did you guys know, everybody, I'm running out of time. Dear Lord, if you can cause the sun to stand still, can you cause the clock to stop? Did you guys remember hearing Kamala Harris say, something to the effect, it's hard for me to even kind of paraphrase, but tomorrow is yesterday before tomorrow has happened, is yesterday past? Listen to you. You guys are all laughing, right? Didn't everybody say, okay, is she crazy? What's wrong? Something, she needs to be checked. You know what you didn't realize? You had no idea. She said that behind a microphone. She's repeated it behind a microphone and cameras. Did you know that that was her plan and is? Did you know this? Do you know who said that first? Did you know she was quoting him verbatim? Karl Marx. Kamala Harris did not say that stupid line. Karl Marx said it. And he said it in the context of his book, Confuse the Populace. Get them to not know exactly what it is you're saying, because in the confusion, they won't know which way to go. And when they do look for a place to go, make sure that you're the one standing They'll come to you. You won't even have to go to them. Get them all confused. Do you remember when we were kids? We would put a blindfold around your friend and you'd spin them in a circle and then turn them loose. That's exactly what that statement from Karl Marx was intended to do. Kamala Harris keeps repeating it and America laughs at her. Listen, she's laughing at you because it's code to the Marxist. I need to hurry. Okay, the next one, you have to qualify it. It's not 2 Chronicles 10, verse 6. It's 2 Corinthians 10, verse 6. Yes, sir, nice and loud in the back.
And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience.
Did you hear that? That's why I said it's not 2 Chronicles. It's 2 Corinthians. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul told the Corinthians, when your obedience to Christ is lived out, it's going to punish all disobedience. Oh, and then it actually ends, I think it's the New King James ends, and it says, then your righteousness shall be fulfilled, or your obedience shall be fulfilled. See, Pastor Jack, what does that mean? When was the last time you heard a sermon on 2 Corinthians 10, verse 6? It means this, for you and I to live as light, speaking up for those who have no defense, doing the right thing, that when we do the right thing, by doing the right thing, God will see to it that disobedience is punished. Now, we live in a constitutional republic. Thank God. We don't go around and throw hand grenades, bombs, and guns. Thank God. How do we punish disobedience? Part of this tour is exactly that. Exposing what's out there. Listen, don't you want your pastors to expose evil that's within your church? Listen, we happen to pastor a pretty large church in Chino Hills. I've trained our pastors to not only comfort the body, part of comforting the body is to have one eye on the body and the other eye scanning the horizon for lunatics. Because every week we've got a lunatic at Chino Hills. We've got a prophet. Every week Elijah shows up, Moses shows up. We literally had Jesus show up on a Wednesday night with his cross. Mormons show up, Jehovah's Witnesses show up. Listen, you gotta protect the body. But here's the thing, to do righteousness is to expose evil. And when somebody says, like they did in our school board 10, 11 years ago, school board member brought a banana to the school board meeting and said, all we're asking to do is simply this. She unwraps a condom and puts it on the banana and says, look how easy this is. And that's when I realized we got to up our game regarding the school board. What did we do? We exercised our liberty and freedom given to us by God. We're good stewards of it. We're not going to sit on it and bury it under the ground and wait. And we started preparing people to run for school board. And we stopped that kind of stuff. Why? Ultimate goal, do righteousness for Christ's glory and to protect the little ones. It's very simple. We just got to get involved, people. We got to stop talking about our Christianity and do it. We just have to do it. It's a non-spectator faith. How's that? Isaiah chapter 10, verse 1. I love this. You're not going to believe it's in your Bible. You're going to think it's a commentary on Sacramento. Nice and loud, please. Did you guys hear that? Isaiah 10, 1. Woe unto those who write misfortune. I'm reading from a different version. I'm old King James in the head. Woe unto those who write misfortune for the people and issue terrible or horrible decrees or laws for those in the land. God says, listen, he says, woe to them. Woe to them. Imagine Sacramento, the laws that they're passing because they're a supermajority. There's no way to stop them. And God says, woe to them. Jeremiah 29:7, nice and loud, really loud. I love this. Let me paraphrase. Jeremiah 29:7, God says, wherever you find yourself, in whatever city you're in, driven away captive. Think about it. We're living in a world that is under the rule of Satan, the prince of the power of this world. Watch this. In a sense, you and I live in a city that's being held captive by bad things. God says in the Word, seek the peace. Seek peace for it. Do what you must to make sure that it's a good city. That is, it's a benefit to you and to all others. Doesn't that sound political? It's not political. Menifee, where are you from? Whatever your town is, you should get involved and find out what offends God in your town, and you should fight to stop it, because God will be with you. You heard Karen England talk about one person who caught the fire from this very same thing in El Centro that day where it was 117 degrees. I'm so glad I told the crowd in El Centro. I said, man, it's hot. And it's so hot, your eyeballs. I mean, the moisture in your eyeballs were hurting. I said, you know what? If you're not a Christian today, you better become one, because for us as believers, this is as hot as it gets. But for the rest of you, it's like warm up. Am I missing one? We did Proverbs 29:2, Proverbs 31:8, 2 Corinthians 10, Isaiah. Yep, Jeremiah, that one. Mm-hmm. Matthew. Yep. So listen. Here's the Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. See, I knew. I forgot to write it down. Pastor Justin, will you turn around and let these people hear Ezekiel 33? And when you hear him read it, first six verses, don't think it's for someone else or for the person next to you. Please. Awesome. Awesome. I'm out of time. I'll say this. Pastors, you have no option but to obey. We are slaves to the will of God. Pastors, yes, there's a great division in our nation among pastors. I think it's a great thing. I think God is preparing his bride. I think the pulpit is being shaken and God is knocking away the chaff and the tares. But those that are standing, the Lord is elevating the voice of God as the word of God is being proclaimed. Friends and family, only God knows how this election is going to go. But listen, know this. We know how Kamala Harris and the Democrat Party votes on life. It's not a guess. Voting records never lie. Politicians lie. Don't just mute your TV when they start talking. Go online to their voting records. They'll say one thing and then they'll vote the truth. Well, their truth. And then people are saying, well, you know, Trump's kind of gotten wiggly wobbly a little bit. Yeah, I actually am. I'm kind of in on that, where I know who's doing that to him. And a few of us have voiced our concerns about that. He's listening to a wrong family member right now. Here's the deal. The answer is not in the White House, and it's not in the State House. The answer is in this house. And there may not be many of us, but God has never done much with a lot. He's done a lot with the few. And here's the thing, this we know. Forget about all the rhetoric and all the shenanigans. With one, you get craziness. With one who can be crazy, he can be off color. You get a litany of really good people like my buddy and friend and honored brother, Mike Pompeo. Loves the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the real deal. You get a lot of other people, but this I know, and I'll end with this. You and I have the ability, the stewardship for this country as we the people to vote. Don't vote how you feel. Vote a biblical worldview. And here's the conclusion. There's going to be a lot less children dying under the presidency of a Donald Trump than there would be under the presidency of a Kamala Harris. That's how I'm voting. Can you guys put the QR code back up there real quick? QR code for Real Life Network. You guys, you see this? Really quick, if you scan that on your phone, it's completely free, 100% free. It's 365, 24/7, not only live TV, but video on demand as well. There's nothing quite like it out there because it's 100% free to you. All the programmers that are on, it's free to them. There's no subscription, there's no pay. How does this happen? A miracle. God gave us this idea a year and a half ago when we were getting canceled and kicked around by everybody in the media world. We started our own network. It has exploded and it is just growing. And we just, by the way, launched, you'll hear more about it. We just launched this last week our news bureau. We've got a bureau chief and a news department that is going to be announced soon, and it's based in Jerusalem. And it is amazing what God's doing. Please, it's all free. Get it down on your device.